It's a heartbreaking and awful thing to have the endless regret about the way a loved one has died. Have you ever been caught in that dark place where you keep thinking over and over and over again about what might have been if only circumstances had been different? If only the doctor had gotten here earlier. If only I hadn't left him alone. If only we could have known earlier. If only. If only. Any of us who's been there can immediately relate to the anguish felt by Mary and Martha after the death of their brother Lazarus. All signs indicate that they were an incredibly close family, close to each other and close to Jesus. Apparently, Lazarus had only been sick for a few days, a short while, and so Martha and Mary thought that they might be able to reach Jesus in time, because Jesus was just across the River Jordan from their home in Bethany. He'd fled there because of death threats that had been made against him while he was in Jerusalem just a little while earlier. And so they reached out to Jesus to let him know that Lazarus was sick. And because the three of them, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, were all so close, because they were three of Jesus's best friends, the sisters were pretty confident that Jesus would come right away to help out. But then he didn't. Jesus waited 2 whole days before he left for Bethany. And by the time he arrived, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. That's certainly long enough for a body to begin to decompose. 4 days. According to Jewish customs, it's long enough for his soul to have left his body. The first words out of Mary and Martha's mouths, they aren't a greeting to Jesus. It's more of a pouring out of their hearts. The first words they say to him are the exact same. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Can't you just hear us saying that to a family member or a close friend? If you would have been here, she wouldn't have fallen. If you would have been here, she wouldn't have died. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. First from Martha, then from Mary. But little did the sisters know about the kind of life that Jesus could give their brother, even after his death. And in response to Martha's accusations about Jesus not being present for her brother, Jesus responds, "Your brother will rise again." Martha thinks that he's referring to the resurrection on the last day, which was a doctrine promoted by the Pharisees, and it was widely accepted among pious Jews. But Jesus was actually proclaiming something completely new and radically different than that. He said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Martha's understanding of the resurrection was something that happens in the future. And Jesus explains that the resurrection is something that happens right now. Jesus is talking about a resurrection that comes in death, a resurrection to eternal life, and one that, because of him, happens now at death instead of on the last day. in Jesus' presence, resurrection and life are present. Those who believe and trust in him will never die, no matter what becomes of their bodies, no matter how tragic the circumstances surrounding their death, because he is the source and sustainer of all life, of true life. This is what I generally refer to as the capital R, or big R, resurrection. The doctrine of resurrection that we believe in, that we hope for, that we hold dear. Then Jesus asks, "Where have you laid my friend?" And they respond, "Lord, come and see." And at this, Jesus breaks down and cries. He weeps. And when they reach Lazarus' tomb, he tells the crowd to take away the stone, but Martha interrupts him, saying, "Jesus, already there will be a stench because he's been dead for 4 days." A stench. That's not something many of us think about when we view a body in a beautiful casket in a softly lit funeral home. We have licensed embalmers, makeup artists, hairstylists to thank for doing their part to protect us from such up-close exposures to death. And it works, at least for a time. Haven't you ever heard someone comment about the dead person in a casket? "She looks so good." That's definitely not the reality of death that Martha's talking about. Seen in those terms, we can understand her hesitance to accept that even Jesus, even the Son of God, could overturn the physical evidence of death and decay. But then Jesus physically resurrects Lazarus in a way that most of us, and most of the faithful, will never experience resurrection. To literally and physically come back to life. But to me, this is Jesus' way of reminding us that resurrection isn't only about our resurrection to eternal life. Resurrection means that we believe that anything can be redeemed, that anything can be restored, that anything can be revived. These are the lowercase r, the little r resurrections that happen around us all the time. And if Jesus can restore Lazarus's life after 4 days in the tomb, after 4 days of being covered in the stench of death, then I believe Jesus can revive what's broken within us. Broken hearts, broken spirits, broken bank accounts. If Jesus can resurrect Lazarus, then Jesus can restore and resurrect what is ailing us, releasing us from the expectations of others, restoring broken relationships, calming anxieties. The resurrection is the basis of our hope as Christians. It's about far more than just the resurrection to eternal life. Resurrection happens in the here and now. Resurrection is the experience of something moving from death to life. We've all witnessed those little r resurrections. And at the last church that I worked at, a woman began visiting our church. And I first noticed Lynn in the fellowship hall one day when she appeared to be having some sort of a fit. It turns out it was a panic attack brought on by her autism and the fact that she became quickly surrounded by people while she stood at the table with the cake in the fellowship hall. Because let's be honest, people are always swarming the cake table. Lynn was in a difficult place for a lot of reasons. She was dealing with serious financial troubles, mental health issues, and the daily struggle of living with autism. But much of her pain was because she was lonely and depressed. She felt dead inside. She even confided in another minister that she was suicidal. Over the first year that she attended that church, and with much education on the part of the congregation, especially around autism, Lynn slowly found a Sunday school class that she fit into. And even though she didn't love sports, she joined the softball team so that she could be around people without having to talk to them much or touch people often. She found community at the church. And it was a slow process. But just over a year in, she joined the choir. Her smile lit up the entire sanctuary. And I asked her about why she joined and how the choir was going. She said she felt like she could breathe again. She said she felt alive. The beauty of Lynn's story of resurrection, from feeling dead to alive, of God breathing life into a place of pain, loneliness, and death, is that the congregation was also resurrected through Lynn. Because of her, that church had to rethink hospitality and how it cared for people with special needs. Because of her, especially because so many people had worked hard to help her, the congregation experienced new life. Resurrection, it gives us the hope to carry on, that God can bring life out of even the darkest of places. We all have those dark places that need resurrection. And so we remember that Jesus walked through the darkness and the pain, that he absorbed the world's pain into himself, and that he can carry our burdens when we offer them over to him. He has poured out his love for us on the cross, and he offers us his broken body and blood to heal and sustain us. He calls us into community to be his living, breathing body on earth, and empowers us to call life out of death's dark places ourselves until he comes again. Jesus knows, and we know far better than we ever wanted to, how death will come in unimagined ways. But none of them are the kind of death that separates us from God. Physical death is robbed of its power because Christ is there. Christ is there, and there is life on both sides of the grave. Let us go forth to live as those for whom death is a thing of the past, so that our living or are dying, our lives are in Christ. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, the source of eternal life. Not just on the last day, but this very day, in this very place. If only we believe. Amen.